You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
I am thrilled to be here on what we're calling Baptism Sunday. Praise God that He is doing a work in our church and in our lives. I'm excited about it. If you're not, I surely hope that you will be. Can I encourage you that baptism is the priority of this church, reaching people with the gospel, seeing them baptized, watching people discipled. And so after the service, we're going to go into the multi-purpose room and where the baptistry is. If you don't know, if you're a guest, don't know where that's at, just follow where everybody's going. But if you are a church member, can I encourage you not to leave for any other reason? If you've got a plane to catch or there's an ambulance waiting for you, those are acceptable reasons to not be there for baptism. Anything else is not acceptable. The service is not over when the invitation will be done today. The service is over when we celebrated people going from death unto life, when people have been baptized, and we get to celebrate that outward sign of salvation. Amen?
Amen.
And so I am excited about that, and I know you are as well. Look with me in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. Finishing up our two-part series on heart change. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. When I was young and kind of just now learning how to mow the lawn, and there's always that process, we'd had kind of one lawnmower, push lawnmower for a couple of years, and somebody kind of gave us a different one. I didn't quite know how it worked, and so I went out there one day after watching, you know, my dad and do it, and I thought, okay, that looks so easy. And I remember going out there, and I remember I was just struggling to push this lawnmower. It was so much harder than the other one, and it was heavier for some reason. So man, I pushed and pushed, and I feel like I could barely get the wheels turning, and I would, you know, turn it around, and it was just so much work to do. And I remember just absolutely exhausted. Yeah, maybe I got the job done, but I just remember I was like, this is not the way this thing's supposed to work. But I was too young. I hadn't learned about this thing called a self-propelled lawnmower. Y'all familiar with these things? It's a lawnmower that propels itself, but I had not heard of that thing at such a young age. And so if you don't know what that is, it's got a little switch on there, and the wheels move for you. So yes, you got to kind of walk behind it, and you got to turn it, but it does all the work. I didn't know that. Now the next time when I mowed that lawn, man, it was easy, breezy, beautiful lawn. Okay, and so I remember I was mowing it, and those wheels were pushing for me, and I just was able to turn that thing around. I got back in the house, man, I barely broke a sweat. I thought, man, this is the way to mow the lawn, right? I haven't graduated to the riding lawnmower yet, but that's where I'm getting, you know, that's where I want. In a similar way, God has given us His Spirit in our lives. You see, the Spirit propels you in your walk with God. We know when I talk about the Spirit, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, who is just as much God as Jesus is, or Father God is. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit comes into your life the second you become a believer, and He indwells you, and He helps you walk with God. But He doesn't force you. He doesn't beat you over the head. He pulls and He pushes and He walks alongside of you. There's many believers that although they have the Spirit in them, they have the Spirit ability, that they're doing a lot of God's work with their own power. And so they go home at the end of the day trying to live for the Lord, and they're absolutely exhausted because it has been minimal effectiveness or it's been futility trying to walk with the Lord without Spirit. That's what we'll be talking about today. as we talked about last week, this is a great passage on how to experience through the gospel lasting and real change in your life. Last week in particular, we talked about part of that process, part one, is learning to put to death the flesh. The flesh is the part of me that used to rule my life before God came and before He changed me, before He transformed me into a different person. So that's who I was. And so the old man is still there and won't be completely gone until I'm in heaven one day, until you're in heaven one day. But we still have the flesh, and we must put to death the desires of the flesh. Every day, every sin that pulls us away from God, we must learn to put to death the flesh. So we talked about that last week. But today, we're talking about what it means to walk with the Spirit. As believers, if we're going to be effective, accomplish anything for Christ's kingdom, to have a life of significance or of meaning, then we must learn to walk with the Spirit of God. So look with me in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. This is the passage that we read last week, but I wanted to get it in context, and we'll read and focus on parts we didn't focus last week. Verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you, as I have warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Well, thank you for Jesus and his birth we celebrate this month. Well, thank you that you have given us the Spirit who helps us to walk with you. So, Lord, I ask that right now that the Spirit would continue to work in our hearts, work in our lives, and would illuminate this truth to us today, that he would speak to our hearts, Lord, it would compel us to change, to real and lasting change. Well, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number one is bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We see this in verses 22 through 23. See, the fruit of the Spirit are produced by the Holy Spirit, which makes sense, right? And there is a large difference between preventing and producing. There's a lot of people that can refrain, can restrain from something, but there is a mile-wide gap between saying, hey, I'm not going to do something, I'm going to hold myself from doing something bad, which is good. But there's a mile-wide difference between somebody who's saying, I want to do good, I want to do right. And so there is a huge difference between not simply doing something and then doing things that honor the Lord. See, a gardener doesn't just make things, he doesn't make things grow, he just makes the conditions for growth. Right? He waters, he weeds, and he waits. He can't make it grow, can he? And in our own spiritual lives, we cannot produce the fruit that we want to see in our lives. These are the fruit of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit of God who produces these. And so we can pull out the weeds of the fleshly desires that are listed here. We can pull those out regularly. We can water it with God's word and time in his presence. But we must wait. It is the Spirit who produces these wonderful fruits that we see in this passage and that we want in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit aren't just actions, but attitudes. See, God cares about what you do, but also, and maybe even more importantly, who you are. So the Spirit is working on the inside and compelling us to change from the inside out, as I've often said. See, God cares about who you are, not just what you do. There's a lot of people that can do a lot of good things, but they do it with wrong motivation. But God cares about what you do and who you are. Now, I'm just going to give a brief explanation of the individual fruit. I could preach another sermon series on each one of these individual fruits, and maybe I will one day, but not today. And so I just want to give the fruit and then just give a brief definition. Is that okay? Is that okay?
Yes.
All right, let's check. Okay. So the first one we see is love, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. See, love is serving others for their good. Now, I'm going to try not to preach a sermon one of these things because I have to pull myself because, man, they are really good. But love is serving others for their good. Joy is unshakable delight in who God is. Peace is confidence and rest in God's control. Patience is the ability to face trouble without blowing up. Kindness is the ability to practically serve others. Goodness is integrity, being the same person in every situation. Faithfulness has to do with loyalty, courage. Gentleness, idea of humility and self-forgetfulness. Self-control is the ability to pursue the important over the urgent. So the fruit of the Spirit, they imply four things about the nature of change, and that's why I wanted to explain these things briefly, because if you don't understand how change works and how the Spirit works in your life, it's easy to get frustrated and maybe even discouraged about why you're not seeing the change that you want to see sometimes. But let's look at the three things about the nature of change with the fruit of the Spirit. First of all, it's gradual. The fruit of the Spirit are evidence of God's grace working in you. Jesus said that you'll know them by their what, church? By their fruits. So Jesus said, if you want to know how a believer works or unbeliever works, what's the difference? Don't say, well, if they go to church or they go to synagogue in Jesus' time. Say, if they will have the fruits of the Spirit working in their lives. It's pretty simple. It is evidence of God's grace working in you. See, fruit, this is an interesting out of all the things that God could have labeled these, he said, these attitudes that are in our heart, that God has called them fruit. And so we have to look at what fruit is in reality and in our world and our understanding. That fruit, botanical, spiritual growth is gradual. You can't see it, but you can, and you can't feel it, but you can measure it over time. Maybe an athletic teenager who his freshman year, maybe he's pretty fast and he's running and he's training and he's lifting weights and he's eating right and he's doing all the things he's supposed to do. By his sophomore year, maybe he would he'll think that he's faster, but he won't really feel any faster. But then he can measure it, right? And 9 times out of 10, doing that much training, a person actually will have gotten faster. I'm at the time in my life where every year I seem to get a little slower. I don't know how that happens, and it's not fun. But there is a time in your life, teenagers, enjoy it while you can. But you can measure growth. We have to be patient. There are seasons of growth, summer and spring, but there's also times of winter and trials and tribulation when things are difficult. But even then, we can grow. I have a friend of mine who was one of the guys that discipled me when I was a young teenager, and he, it's hard to describe this guy, but he was it was the toughest guy I've ever met in my entire life. He had this scratchy voice because he was a drill sergeant at different times, and he was in the Marines, and he had one of his roles was teaching hand-to-hand combat and before the Marines. So this dude was tough. I'll just tell you that much. And we always like trying him as a teenager, but he always would whip us, and it was really embarrassing. But anyway, so I remember one particular day he was saying, I was out, you know, he was out working in his yard, and somebody had pulled up and said, hey, is Stacy, is she here? And he said, no, you know, Stacy doesn't live here. And then the guy in the car said, I didn't ask if Stacy lived there. I said, is Stacy here? Now, my friend that was this tough as nails Marine said, if that guy had told me that a year ago, I would have pulled him out by his head and plucked his tonsils out, right? They said, but something had changed in my friend's life. The Holy Spirit had given him self-control and patience. And now maybe he wouldn't have been able to tell you up to that point, yeah, I'm a different person. But that circumstance was a measuring stick of the Holy Spirit working inside him. It is gradual. The fruit of the Spirit's growth is inevitable. You know, I've heard somebody say, fast or slow, the believer will grow. See, it's not just fruit, but it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. And so with the Holy Spirit of God working in you, then you know that it is absolutely inevitable that this will grow in your life. You will eventually become more patient, more loving, more kind, more gentle, more self-controlled. These things will happen in your life if you are a believer walking with the Lord. You see, we are saved by faith, but not fruitless faith. Are you with me, church? You are saved by faith, grace through faith, but not fruitless faith. And there's a lot of people that made some kind of weepy, emotional decision, and they said, yeah, I gave my life to Christ, but they've never seen fruit in their life. And with as much care as a pastor that I can, with concern, tell you, I'd be worried about your life. Well, yeah, I made some decisions, and yeah, I haven't changed in 50 years. I'm just as stubborn as I've always been, and mean and ugly. Then I would be careful and calling yourself a Christian. You need to check and see if the Spirit of God has really worked in your life. So you are saved by faith, but a fruitless faith is really no faith at all. Amen. It is inevitable, and it is eternal. See, there is a difference between external mechanical growth and internal botanical growth. See, external mechanical growth is about religion. It's like spraying perfume on a casket. It'll mask the smell for a while, but it won't fix it, right? See, religion is just behavior modification. It's always from the outside in, but it doesn't bring lasting change. It doesn't change the heart. And that's what we've been talking about. See, when we know back in the olden days, when Egyptians did mummies, right? When somebody would die, they'd pull out their brains from their nose and they'd wrap the corpse up in tight linen cloth, and then they would put this corpse in this beautiful casket, so to speak, and they would cover it, and it'd be with gold and jewels and worth more money than I'll ever make in my lifetime. But it didn't fix what was in there, right? For all of its showings and trappings, it still had a rotten, stinking corpse inside. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, said, you guys are like whitewashed tombs. You're beautiful on the inside, but on the outside, on the inside, you are full of dead men's bones. And a person who is simply practicing religion is not somebody who has been changed on the inside. They've only been changed on the outside. And they're dead, and they're rotting inside. See, but when the Spirit comes, He comes from the inside out. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but true spiritual change always begins on the inside, and then it's evidenced on the outside. It begins on the inside, but it doesn't just get to stay there. It seeps out. It pours out until you are living the life that Christ wants you to live. We need to bear fruits of the Spirit. Now, there's going to be times of amazing growth. And you can think about that. Think about times in your life. I just grew in this Bible study. Or maybe you're a new believer, and man, as you, every passage, every book that you're reading, you're getting every devotion that you can read. That's fantastic. But there's going to be times, ebbs and flows, peaks and valleys of our growth. But no matter what, you will grow as a believer. You must be evidencing the spiritual fruit in your life. Not optional. Maybe we'll be stronger in some areas, weaker in others. The fruit grow up together, all of them, in our lives. We're not allowed to make excuses. Well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way my dad was. That's just the way I was raised. No. The Holy Spirit has come inside your heart. He transforms. He transforms completely. Our second point is that we are to be walking by the Spirit. We see this in verse 16, really 18, and verse 25. As believers, we are to be walking by the Spirit. Look at verse 16 and the other verses. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Look at verse 18. "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Skip all the way down to verse 25. "That if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." As believers, we are to be walking by the Spirit. See, walking with the Spirit is a positive process. It's not just giving things up. It's an active process which we are responsible in. See, we are to find the particular false beliefs which generate our over-desires, and we are to replace them with Christ. Remember, we talked about that a little bit last week. It's not just that we desire bad things, it's that we desire good things in such a way that they can become bad things. There's nothing wrong to love your wife. There's nothing wrong with loving your spouse and putting them above all other people. But the Bible says there is one place alone for worship, and it's of Jesus Christ. And I've known couples that have put their spouse in that spot where Jesus Christ was supposed to be. And when that spouse left, it utterly broke that person because they had Jesus Christ and their spouse in the wrong spot. And we can love money. Money is great. It's a useful tool. We need it to do things here at this church. We need it in our own lives. But when people put money where it's not supposed to go, when we love money more than we're supposed to, then it becomes that over-desire that begins to control and consume us. And as believers, we're to find these false beliefs that generate these over-desires in our hearts, and not just leave them there, but then to replace them with Christ. We must worship Christ until our hearts find Him more desirable than the object we feel we need to have. For some people, maybe that's respect. They want respect above all things. They want it in their workplace. They want it at their house. They demand respect. And so they make people respect them or they punish them. But see, that's a false belief. That's a false understanding of who you are. You see, if you're a Christian, then you're a child of God. You're a son or daughter of the King. And so it doesn't really matter if you give me respect or not. That's all secondary to me because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Maybe you struggle with some sort of a substance abuse. Maybe it's alcohol, drugs, something else. And you're looking for something to numb the pain in your life. Or you're looking for a joy that brings, but it's always fleeting. It always runs out. Yeah, it can bring you high for a while. You'll feel pretty good, but it always brings you back down eventually. And brother, sister, I'm telling you, replace that. Replace that with the everlasting joy of Christ. And no matter if you're going through good times or bad times, you have a lasting joy that's based on who Christ is, and it can't be shaken. And so you can wake up every morning with joy in your heart, regardless of the circumstances that you're going. Maybe you struggle with materialism. You have a materialistic heart. You want what everybody else has. That never brings joy. You can never have more than somebody else. Somebody's always got more, the next thing. But you can replace that with understanding that Jesus is the greatest treasure that has been given to humanity. Loving and treasuring Christ in your heart is the antidote for a materialistic heart. You know, when you have a house, you have load-bearing walls, right? And load-bearing walls bear the load. And so you cannot just take out a load-bearing wall without the roof crumbling down on top of you. And so when you take out a load-bearing wall, you must replace it with beams, and you got to put it in the right spot to keep it from crumbling down on you. And when you're walking with the Spirit, and you want to follow after God, you can't just take out bad things in your life. You'll crumble. You have a vacuum. And then you need to replace them with God's truth, His presence, and His goodness. And that's when you will be able to walk with the Spirit. That's when you find joy and peace and happiness and fulfillment. John Piper said, "We must set before our own soul the banquet of promises that God has made to us to feed our faith in the full." All the promises that are in God's Word. Have you read them anytime soon, brother and sister? Have you read the promises of God? Do you believe them? Or are you believing the promises of this world? You must learn to bring out these lies that you and I have heard in our minds and our heart and replace them with the true promises of Christ. This involves the Word, God's Word, studying God's Word, devotionally reading God's Word. It involves prayer and worship by yourself and with God's people and fellowship in a godly community. This is why church is important. Part of church is reminding each other who we are. And when we sing, it's not just singing to God, brothers and sisters. We're singing to each other. And so we encourage each other that you are a son of God, that you're a daughter of God. I'm a son of God, and so I'm not a daughter of God. I'm a son of God, right? And so we are encouraging one another who we are as we walk together. It says that we are, look at verse 25, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." So this is following the Holy Spirit's direction and guidance. Now this is what some of the things the Spirit does. If you say, "Man, I'm not really sure what the Spirit's role is. I kind of get Jesus and I kind of got Father God, but I'm not sure what the Holy Spirit does." Here's a couple of those things. The Holy Spirit illuminates our minds, the spiritual truth. So if you want to know what God's Word says, then the Spirit is the one that's going to make that happen. If you're sitting here angry or grumpy or waiting for your lunch, then I'm telling you, then you're not allowing the Spirit to work in your heart. See, the Spirit is the one that illuminates the mind. It illuminates the heart for the truths of God. The lost man, the Bible says, cannot understand these truths. He empowers us to change. And the Spirit's awesome. I mean, can't you see how important the Spirit is? If He shows us what biblical truth is, and then He's the only one that can change us. You can't change in your own power. It is only the Holy Spirit living inside of you. He convicts you of sin when you're doing wrong. He's the one that drew you to God in the first place, and He motivates us to do right. So whenever you've decided to do right, you didn't really decide to do right. The Holy Spirit produced that inside of you. I would encourage you. This is a daily prayer that I think you should pray, something like this. Ask the Spirit every day to speak to you. Now we look, the Spirit never contradicts God's Word. We know God primarily speaks through His Word. So when you're reading your Bible, hopefully every day you're saying, Lord, speak to me through Your Word. I need to hear from You. Lord, change me. I see Christ and I see myself and I know that there is a chasm between us. Please make me more like my Savior each day. Convict me of sin. Show me what's wrong in my life. Help me to change. Motivate me to do right. So you pray that prayer and the Spirit will do His part. A couple years back, somebody was getting married. I don't remember who it was now, but my wife and I, through YouTube, decided to do some dance lessons. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, I'm not a very good dancer before, and I'm not a very good dancer now. But we looked up some dancing so you could, you could dance instead of just doing the slow dance shuffle kind of at the end of the thing, And so we kind of looked up some steps, and I learned in that process that a man is always supposed to lead in the dancing process, right? So when he goes forward, the wife is supposed to go back. He goes back, she's supposed to go forward. He's supposed to be leading it all the way. But I have to make sure when I'm leading that I don't go too fast or I don't go too slow, because you got to keep up with the rhythm of the music. Dancing's really hard. That's why I don't do it very well, And so I can be doing my own thing and wiggling over here, and my wife can be doing it over there. But that ain't dancing, brother. That's just moving, all right? And so it's only dancing when you're both moving to the rhythm of the music. And God did not decide He wanted to give me that ability, all right? Same is true with the Spirit. Same is true with the Spirit. You're to keep in step with the Spirit. So when He leads, we follow. We don't get too far ahead of the Spirit and say, hey, I want to marry this person, God. I want to go to this school. I want to go to this job. I want to buy this house. I want this promotion. And the Spirit never led you to any of those things. We don't want to get too far behind the Spirit. And He's saying, hey, share the gospel with this person. And you're going, I don't think He wants to hear that gospel, Lord. You need to go over here. You need to make this move. I'm not so sure about that, Lord. We're to be keeping in step with the Spirit. He says where to go, we go. He says what to do, we do. It is the Spirit who does the leading, but we do the walking. See, in these verses, it has a different word, but it all means the same thing. It says that you are led by the Spirit, we walk with the Spirit, we keep in step with the Spirit. It's all saying the same thing, that we are following the promptings of our Holy Spirit. Can I just say this, brothers and sisters? Learn to follow the Spirit's subtle promptings and leadings in your life. The Spirit has all the power in the world to bash you over the head, to make you do what you don't want to do. It has every ability in the world to do that. But God has chosen to speak in the still small voice. Prompts our spirit to do this, to do that, to have that gospel conversation, to say that word of encouragement. He prompts us to do that. Now sometimes He prompts a little harder than other times, but as the Spirit prompts and leading in your life, Sabino Road desperately needs people who listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So we don't have the Spirit, and we don't have anything. Brothers and sisters, it is the Spirit that prompts the heart to share the gospel, to encourage our brother and sister to turn from sin. We must learn to listen to the gentle, quiet, subtle promptings of the Holy Spirit. This church will go nowhere without the Spirit of God. We must learn to walk with the Spirit. Maybe some of you guys saw me sneak this up here. See, fruit isn't just for looking at. Right? Fruit is made to be consumed. But brothers and sisters, the fruit that we have, the fruit that the Spirit produces in us is not for our own consumption. It is for those around us, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and for the lost people that we know in our life. It is our responsibility through the Spirit's power, where He prompts us, and then we obey, and fruit is produced, and then we get to help a lost and dying and starving world with the fruit that they need. People who have not experienced love. They grew up in ugly, abusive homes with drunken fathers. We can be the people that show them love. People that desperately need to see joy in a world that constantly sucks it from them. We can give them that fruit. People who are struggling with peace in difficult times, we can demonstrate that peace and point them to the one who gives peace. When there's a person who needs self-control, we can show them that. Faithfulness, when we need to be loyal to them as husbands and fathers, we need to learn to be gentle. Can we be strong enough to be gentle? The Spirit gives us this in a world that is starving for these fruits. Brothers and sisters, can I encourage you to learn to walk with the Spirit of God? Because nothing else I preach, and I know preachers use hyperbole all the time, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't listen. But preachers use hyperbole all the time. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, everything else I'll preach will be ineffective for you, will be useless to you, if you do not learn to put to death the flesh and to walk with the Spirit. I mean, nothing else. I can preach 10 ways to be a better father, 5 ways to be a better wife, because they got less to figure out. And I can preach these things, but I'm telling you, if you do not learn to crucify the old man and to walk with the Spirit, then you will never change. But oh, when the Holy Spirit comes, crucify the flesh, we follow the promptings of our sweet Spirit, then we'll change.
Amen. Amen.
As we move into the invitation time today, this is the challenge of God's Word. Can I ask you, brother and sister, is there fruit growing in your life? Maybe it's not growing as exponentially quickly as you would like, but it's still growing. But if it's not, you've never developed Christian character, you've never exhibited it, are you sure God has changed? Are you sure the Spirit has moved into your life? If not, repent from sin, turn to our Savior. But if you're a believer and you're saying, Lord, I want fruit to grow in my life, you must learn to replace those desires in your heart, those over-desires for the things of this world, and replace them with the things the Spirit points us to, which are always the eternal. Music plays and you're singing and you're reflecting, ask God, ask the Spirit to reveal those to you, and then ask Him to change. I encourage you to make sure you're following the Spirit's guidance. Maybe you're looking for a church home. You're saying, I don't know where I should be at. Ask the Spirit. But I'm a single person. I'm looking for a spouse. Don't read magazines. Don't watch TV shows. Ask the Spirit. I've got decisions I need to make about jobs and occupations and families. And ask the Spirit. And He'll guide you. He's faithful. He's unchanging. And we can trust Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for Your presence with us today. Lord, thank You for the role of the Spirit. But forgive us when we fall short, and we all do. Forgive us when we're more concerned about the things of this world than the things of Your kingdom. But forgive us when we've let weeds grow up in our lives that squelch the Spirit. Lord, I just pray that you would produce these spirits in our lives. Lord, it'd be evidenced in this congregation. Not just in this walls of this church building, but Lord, in our workplaces and with our families at Thanksgiving and Christmas, Lord, that we will exhibit these fruits. We'll show them to a world that desperately needs them. Help us to follow your prompt. Help us to obey. Because we know it's only in you that there is lasting joy. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.